We've been reporting about the court-ordered deadline that the Trump administration faces tomorrow, a deadline to reunite the youngest of some 3,000 migrant children who were taken away from their parents as they tried to cross into the United States. Last week, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar suggested that some of the children would be transferred from privately run shelters around the country to Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention centers where their parents are being held. One of those facilities is the Port Isabel Detention Center near Brownsville, Texas. Sara Dill is a human rights attorney who's part of a team of lawyers advising Port Isabel detainees of their rights. Sara, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
Port Isabel is a former naval base, and it is the last stop for immigrants who are being deported. Could you describe what it's like there?
Certainly. Like most immigration detention centers, it's literally in the middle of nowhere. It takes about 30 to 35 minutes to get there from the main commercial area of Brownsville, where hotels and offices and such are. It's highly secure. You have to go through guard gates, have ID checks. On a couple of occasions, they would search our vehicle prior to entering. Upon arriving, you have to go through metal detectors, put things in lockers, and then be taken back to the area where you can have visits with the detainees. And it's set up like any other prison or jail facility, highly secure, heavy locking doors, limited and restricted movements. You meet with detainees in these tiny rooms with a table and two plastic chairs. And it's very much a depressing place for people to be who've never spent time in jail or prison in their lives.
Have you seen any reunifications happen between parent and child at Port Isabel?
Not actually at Port Isabel. I did have one family that I'm working with that the mother has been released. The father is still in custody, and they have two children. One child is age 2. The other is age 9. The 9-year-old is still in custody in Miami. They moved him all the way there and are refusing to release him at this point. But the mother did get the 2-year-old back, who is being held at one of the tender age facilities near the Brownsville area.
Will any of the children who are reunited with their parents be staying at Port Isabel?
I hope not. We've certainly heard twice now rumors that children were going to be sent to Port Isabel. And when I spoke to employees of the detention center, they informed me, they said, this is not a facility that's set up to accommodate children. We're not designated as a family shelter. We don't have the facilities, the staff, the necessary things to house children. And it doesn't. Now, if they're going to use it for an hour to hand the children to their parents, certainly they could arrange something in the facilities for that. But any, even a few hours or a day to have children there would just be grossly inappropriate. Years ago, if a family shelter was full, they would take the parent and child to a hotel and have them stay there together for the night. And so DHS has options. They can be creative about this.
Is the difference now, the fact that those who are seeking asylum were at one point put into, as you say, a hotel for a night or two, and that's not happening now, is that in part because of the numbers of the thousands and thousands of people that are crossing the border all at once?
I don't think the numbers have anything to do with it. I think it really is a shift in policy. I think it's a shift in the detention of asylum seekers rather than releasing them on humanitarian parole or granting them bonds. And so I think as this administration has gone away from releasing asylum seekers, they've caused their own crisis in having so many people in detention. Whereas if they would simply release these families, they're not threats to national security, they're not criminals, we wouldn't have the crisis and the overcrowding of the family shelters and other facilities.
How do they know they're not threats to society unless they investigate them, unless they know their history?
I mean, in the investigations, you know, I mean, I will say of all of the people that we interviewed in the first week when we had a team of 6 of us from the D.C. area at Port Isabel, other than a very, very small percentage, I would say probably 1%, whose only criminal conviction in their life was from illegal reentry, where they had been deported, came back to the U.S., and were then charged in criminal court, the rest of them had never been arrested of anything in their life. They'd never been charged with crimes. I think that's just improper, and I think it goes against what we've seen over the years as to who asylum seekers truly are.
So we've been hearing so much about these families and individuals. There are so many of them. What is their fate, say, in the next month or 2 months or even 6 months?
It's really hard to tell. We hope that these individuals will, one, get representation to assist them. Our bigger fear is that as the administration plans these other family detention sites and camps to house tens of thousands of people, that it's going to be even more dismal for these people to be released and able to go about their lives. The Attorney General just announced that he's not going to allow employment authorization for asylum seekers, thus limiting their right to work. And it really is a troubling human rights crisis that's just going to get worse if the administration continues on this path that they're on.
Sarah Dill is a human rights attorney working with migrant parents at the Port Isabel Detention Center in Texas. Thank you very much.
Thank you.